Brahmana. Another name is Shruti. Shruti means that this knowledge has to be received simply by oral reception. The Vedas instruct that in order to understand transcendental knowledge, we hear from the authority. Transcendental knowledge is beyond, from beyond this universe. Within the universe is material knowledge, and beyond this universe is transcendental knowledge. We cannot even go to the end of this universe, but how can we go to the spiritual world? Thus to acquire full knowledge is possible. We covered this. Because, so the answer, you want to know what is to acquire full knowledge is impossible. That means by the empirical method. Because I remember the comment that first, Prabhupada is defeating the whole process by saying even within the field of material knowledge, it's imperfect. And then on top of it, he's defeating it again by saying that if by direct sensation and by the inductive method of reasoning and hypothesis, they can't hypothesize about that which is beyond their experience. They can't know it. That which is beyond their experience is not their senses reach. Beyond. Can't go there, see it, so how can we give information about it? We cannot even go to the end of the universe. So how can we go to the spiritual world? And if you're saying you can know things that you can perceive, then you can't even talk. And that's actually what ones that are a little more honest, they'll say, you can't even discuss it. I had first-hand experience with that. There's one, when I was in high school, a student from Tokyo stayed in our home. And this individual, who later on, when going back home, he proceeded to get two PhDs. First in the University of Tokyo, which is like, you know, Oxford or Cambridge or Harvard or something, as far as Japan, nuclear physics. And then he got a PhD on top of that, in mathematical biology. And his study after having two PhDs was to see how the division of cells, the easiest ones to study too. What was that process of, I think it's mitosis, how it works in, you know, down to the tiniest micro scale. So he visited me as a devotee. And we couldn't have a conversation. Because he couldn't talk at all. He said by our process, we are not prepared to talk about that which is not measurable. And he used even these terms, by the senses or by extending our senses. We can't talk about that which is beyond the end of your fingertips, beyond the end of the reach of your senses to perceive. So if there's God or if there's soul, we can't even talk about it.
He was
saying, I can't, I won't deny it. I mean, it was a little more complicated of a conversation than that. That was the essence of what he was saying. I can't deny it, but I can't, so I can't talk about it. It's not empirical. That's the scientist. Then there's the vast majority of dishonest. So anyway, by this, pratyaksha, by this pratyaksha process, by direct sense perception process, they have perfect knowledge. Because here's another understanding of why you can't have full knowledge or perfect knowledge. Because full knowledge includes knowledge of everything. Like Prabhupada describes that we'll come on this in the invocation, but the complete whole has to include everything within our experience and beyond our experience. Can't talk about that which is beyond your experience. There's so many things that are beyond those things that should be included in what's called knowledge. You can't talk about it. You can't know it. It's knowable, but you can't know it that way. It's incomplete knowledge. It's not full knowledge. There is a spiritual sky. There is another nature which is beyond manifestation and non-manifestation. So this manifestation and manifestation has to do with the material ingredients, because sometimes description in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, he's answering Arjuna's question in the 12th chapter about which is better, which do you want for me more, this process of devotion or the process of renouncing all activities. Krishna says, process of both will work ultimately, but the process of trying to fix your mind on the impersonal feature is always trouble for those who are embodied. Yatkam yatkim apanam manyate mam ya. Only those who are less intelligent will try to how fix your mind in something that has no quality. It's very difficult. Something that has no form, it has no feature, it has no identity, no shape, personality, no name, no quality. And you have to mind on that. Very difficult. For those who are embodied Krishna, it's very, very troublesome. So, in that verse, the word avyakta is also used. And avyakta meaning the unmanifest. So that's also a feature of the spiritual, or the Brahman feature, or the act of the Supreme. And here, the beyond manifest and non-manifestation means the different stages of material creation. Sometimes the material creation is manifest, sometimes unmanifest. So this term unmanifest has different meanings depending upon its use. There is another nature which is beyond manifestation and non-manifestation. But how do you know that there is a sky where the planet's inhabitants are eternal? All this knowledge is there, but how will you make experiments? It is possible. Therefore, you have to take the assistance of the Vedas. This is called Vedic knowledge. This is the reason that people criticize those who are atheists. They say, you're accepting all of this on belief. You can't prove it. Show me the evidence. And Prabhupada is saying, you can't experimental type of evidence through senses, through mind. But there is evidence, and that evidence is Vedic literature. It's another system of knowledge. He's already given some examples of how even in everyday life, we accept that system of knowledge also. This simple example is receiving a radio program of what a radio station is broadcasting. You accept it, that's what it is. Because they published it, they're the authority, they're the broadcasters, they know what they're broadcasting. So you just accept it. And sure enough, by just accepting it, there it is. You turn on the dial and such a time putting on your broadcast. That system we're also using, even in material existence, the same system of knowledge is the only system of knowledge that works in spiritual affairs. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we are accepting knowledge from the highest authority, Krishna. Krishna has accepted the highest authority by all classes of men. I am speaking of the two classes of transcendentalists. One class of transcendentalists is called personalists. Mayavadi. Generally, they are generally known as Vedantists, like Shankaracharya. And there is another class of transcendentalists called Vaishnavas, like Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami. Both the Shankara Sampradaya and the Vaishnava Sampradaya have accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shankaracharya is supposed to be an impersonalist who preached impersonalism, impersonal Brahman, but it is a fact that he is a covered personalist. Seems like I read this too.
Yes.
Anyway. In his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, he wrote, Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is beyond this cosmic manifestation. And then, again, he confirmed, that Supreme Personality of God, Narayana, is Krishna. He has come as the son of the king in Vasudeva. He particularly mentioned the names of his father and mother. So Krishna is accepted as Supreme Personality of Godhead by all transcendentalists. No doubt about it, our source of knowledge is Krishna. In Krishna consciousness, it is directly from Krishna, Bhagavad Gita. We have published Bhagavad Gita as it is because we accept Krishna as he is speaking, without any interpretation. That is Vedic knowledge. So here's another qualification Prabhupada is putting on how to receive Vedic knowledge. The previous terms that he used were it's axiomatic. It's not to be proven, it's not to be questioned because it's to be established. Now here, can't be interpreted. Since Vedic knowledge is pure, we accept it. Whatever Krishna says, we accept. This is Krishna consciousness. That saves my mind. If you have the right authority or source of knowledge, then you save much time. For example, there are two systems of knowledge in the material world, inductive and deductive. From deductive, you accept this going over these two systems again. Pratyaksha and Anumana. So, deductive is the direct sense perception. And they have these systems in, say, in mathematics, in geometry. Inductive reasoning and deductive reasoning. And there are systems of this, like this in debate or argument. And it's part of when someone studies Sanskrit, this is an essential thing that you also have to learn. At least it's traditionally part of learning Sanskrit, argument and reason. In fact, that's what the Vijaya that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated when he was very young. That was the grammar and logic and rhetoric, and these are all the principles that scholarly persons who are Vedantists or empiricists are very much practiced in and very proud of all of these little abilities. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated Digvijaya, it was that Digvijaya gave this very long, I forget, 100 verses or something, spontaneously composed in wonderful Sanskrit, except he made a couple of little mistakes. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was able to remember exactly what those mistakes were. He listened very patiently, quietly, after this big scholar was still rattling off his genius Sanskrit poetry, but Chaitanya pointed out, with quick memory, exactly where his little itty-bitty mistakes were. And the man was, from a young boy, he couldn't even understand how he could have that kind of memory. What to speak of the intention to pick up the little mistakes. And that perfect retention, he was overwhelmed. But anyway, so this understanding these systems, Prabhupada is going through it very quickly, and we're also reading it very quickly, but these systems of deductive and inductive proof for so-called knowledge is a classical thing in trying to understand what is real, what's fact, what's what. From deductive, you accept that man is mortal. Your father says man is mortal. Your sister says man is mortal. Everyone says man is mortal. But you do not experiment. You accept it as fact that man is mortal. If you want to research to find out whether man is mortal, you have to study each and every man. And you may come to think that there may be some man who is not dying, but you have not seen him yet. So in this way, your researching will never be finished. This process called in Sanskrit Aroha, the ascension. So both deductive and inductive fit on this ascending knowledge. Ascending knowledge means just like how you study mathematics in school. You learn 1 plus 1 is 2, and then you learn multiplication, and then you learn mathematics, and you learn algebra, and then you learn trigonometry, and then you learn the next thing, and the next thing, and then you're supposed to eventually know everything there is to know about mathematics. The ascending process. In this way, people are... philosophies are built on this same system of trying to know the truth based on you try to establish some fundamental axiomatic thing and then go on from there. But so the aro is the ascending process, and Prabhupada is saying by applying this ascending process you can't come to any definite conclusion about anything, because there may be that the exception to that, that's the this inductive process is like that also. The perfect example that Prabhupada has already given, that of the scientist who says, it is my conclusion that, or it is my belief that, it appears to me that, when you make your statement, and then everybody just accepts, until some scientist along finds the contrary data, and then they have to throw it, or at least revise or throw the whole thing out, until the next one comes along. And it's the very same process with arguments and logic. Some may have better argument than the next person, or be a debater or arguer than the next person, but somewhere someone will come along and defeat them. So it's never permanent. It's incomplete, this ascending process. If you want to attain knowledge by any personal endeavor, by exercising your imperfect senses, you will never come to the right conclusions. That is not possible. So just think about the platform that people are standing on. When they're accused, those who are accepting the Vedic process, that you should come over to my side and stand on something that has no basis to it. They're not only fools, but they want others to also be fooled as them. Misery loves company. Because they don't see their own position, they can't recognize what is for real. They see, but they don't see. They can't see their own position. There is a statement in Brahma Samhita, just ride on the airplane that runs the speed of the mind. Our material airplanes can run 2,000 miles per hour. What is the speed of the mind? You're sitting at home, you immediately think of India, 10,000 miles away, and at once, it is in your home. Your mind has gone there. The mind's speed is so swift. Therefore it is stated, quote, if you travel at the speed for millions of years, you'll find the spiritual sky is unlimited. It is not possible even to approach it. So I made a photocopy of this reference, just to see how Prabhupada is doing this. In the references, there's many references in the Isha Upanishad to Brahma Samhita verses. And this same reference that's in the introduction, also in the text, I think it's text mantra 4. Anyway, one of the other mantras. Yeah. In mantra 4, Prabhupada writes, in Brahma Samhita it is stated, even if a non-devotee philosopher travels at the speed of mind for hundreds of years, he will still find the absolute truth far, far away from him. So that verse is in Samhita, text number 34. Santastu koti satavat sarasam pragamyo vayoratapi manaso munipungavanam so pyasti yat prapadasya vachinti tatve govindam adi purusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, only the tip of the toe of whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis who fire after the transcendental and betake themselves to Yam by drilling the respiration, or by the Gyanis, this is the reference, or by the Gyanis who try to search out the non-diffidated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane extending over thousands and millions of years. So if the Gyanis, this process of elimination means neti, they just try by negation to establish what is not Brahman, end up with what is. And after doing that for millions and millions of years, the spiritual world is still far beyond. And that's traveling at the speed of the mind. The mind speed is so fast. By this example, immediately you think of something and you're there. The mind is there. If you're thinking of things, then your mind is with that something as you're thinking of it. So with that being, for millions of years, millions and millions of years, traveling that fast, still the spiritual world is far away. So therefore, Prabhupada says, they will never end the spiritual sky. It is not possible. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is that one must approach. The word compulsory is used. A five spiritual master, a guru. And this verse is also referenced. Of course, there are several verses that are somewhat like this. There's a particular verse that's in the 11th canto. I have photocopies there also. Smat kurum prapadyeta jigyasu sreya uttamam shabde kare chanishnan tam brahman yupa shamashvayam. Therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of the bona fide guru is that he has realized conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation and is able to convince out of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Godhead leaving aside all material considerations should be understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. So now for like 4 or 5 pages, or for many minutes, Prabhupada was lecturing, he was just, you know, 2 or 3 times over, just thumping on any other conclusion. And this is a method that Prabhupada would do also when addressing, having a conversation with someone who was coming from, had another point of view, rather than, this is a point to do with preaching. When you're preaching, rather than immediately assert, unless you have someone who is immediately submissive, and you can recognize that they're anxious to hear, they're not immediately right away anxious to hear. Generally, that means because of false ego, they're very proud of their conception, because everyone has some conception of life. So Prabhupada would patiently, it's like in the dialectic spiritualism book, the other philosophy was presented, and Prabhupada would hear and then make this point, the comment. Before presenting the Vedic conclusion in preaching, it's very helpful to allow an individual to say whatever their point of view is, and then carefully and with some finesse or to give them some indication where the hole is in that position, where it doesn't end up, and then the Vedic conclusion. And many times Prabhupada would listen carefully to his conversations, or just as we were doing here, reading very carefully this lecture, he doesn't just defeat it once, twice, thrice, 4 times, until it's just flat. It doesn't stand up anymore. And then, presenting the conclusion. So here's the conclusion. Because knowledge of the spiritual world is there, but it's not accessible by any other means, therefore you have to approach that far, far away knowledge from the source that is in contact with that far away knowledge. So here, and in the verse that's from the Bhagavatam, from the 11th canon of Bhagavatam, two qualifications are mentioned. Specifically, realize the conclusion of the scriptures by deliberation and is able to convince others of these conclusions. And here, within this lecture from London, Prabhupada is stating, and what qualification of a spiritual master? First mentioned, he has rightly heard the Vedic message from the right source. So he's in disciplic succession, parampara. Otherwise he is not blind. And he must practically be firmly established in Brahman. These are 2 qualities. This Krishna consciousness movement is completely authorized by Vedic rules. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the Vedic knowledge is to find out Krishna. In the Brahma Samhita, it is also stated, Krishna Govinda has innumerable forms, but they are all one. That verse is also quoted. Did you get these sheets?
I did.
Just didn't bring them. Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyame Krishtan Nana Avatara Makaro Bhuvanesha Kintu. It is 39. Krishnak Svayam Samabhavat Paramakanyo Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Rajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who manifested himself personally as Krishna, and the different avatars in the world in the forms of Ramana, Sringa, Vamana, etc., as his subject portions. So Rama Adi Murti Shakala Niyamena Tishtam. Rama and Adi. Rama and Lord Rama and all the rest of them. Rama Adi Murti Shakala. This the different types of incarnations. Anyway, it has innumerable incarnations, and that's what we refer to. But they are all one. They are not like our forms, which are fallible. His form is infallible. My form has a beginning, but his form has no beginning. It is ananta. Now, here Prabhupada is, of course, he is a spiritual man addressing, just as he's just got finished, and why you must hear from a spiritual master. Now he's giving some evidence of that. He's giving information right immediately following what he just explained about things that someone by any other process than hearing from the bona fide authority would never even have a clue about. That the Lord has innumerable forms, of that they're all the same in quality. They are not our forms, which are fallible. The Lord's form is infallible. His form has no beginning. It is ananta. And his form, so many multi-forms, has no end. My form is sitting here and not in my apartment. You are there and in your apartment. But Krishna can be anywhere at one time. He can sit down in Goloka Vrindavan, and at the same time, he is everywhere, all-pervading. He is original, the oldest. But whenever you look at a picture of Krishna, you'll find a young boy, 15 or 20 years old. You'll never find an old man. You've seen pictures of Krishna as a charioteer from the Bhagavad Gita. At that time, he's not less than 100 years old. He had great-grandchildren. But he looked just like a boy. God, Krishna, never becomes old. That is his supreme power. And if you want to search out Krishna by studying the Vedic literature, then you will be baffled. It may be possible, but it is difficult. Now, what does that mean, Krishna? It may be possible, but it is very difficult. Yes. Because the Jnanis spend their time simply searching out the Supreme by studying the Vedic literature. First he's saying, if you want to search, then you won't be successful. It's not possible. But it may be possible, but it's very difficult.
When he says it may be possible, you know that Srila Prabhupada said, if a Jnani, after many, many years, comes to the devotional schools,
right,
back to that,
right. But you can, because that's what he said previously, this saves you much time. If you just accept the Vedic, because Krishna is the perfect authority, and Krishna presents some conclusion, therefore we just